This is CliffCentral.com.
Good morning, everybody. Ben was struggling now to get his headphones into the hole. You know, sometimes you struggle.
Long story.
Yeah, he was rolling around the outside of the hole with his headphone jack, and then he was struggling to get it in.
See, guys, the problem is once I put it in, it doesn't actually work. All I've got to do is pull it out, so just the tip is in.
Oh.
And only then does the tip transmit all you need.
Oh.
It's the most confusing thing, but this headphone jack, you know what? I might as well just blow on it and hope for the best.
Yeah.
Sure. You know, when you struggle to get it in, that says a lot about your performance or lack thereof.
Right.
Hashtag just saying.
Do you think people confuse this show for Dr. Phil, you know?
No.
Okay.
Only when you talk to you.
I don't think there's anything we have in common with Dr. Phil, huh?
You know, just a higher level conversation.
Dr. Phil doesn't apply.
The life-changing tips.
Dr. Phil drags people with serious problems onto his show, and then he gives them bullshit advice, and he does it all for ratings. He could care less about any of those people.
Like Kashmir Asai.
Yeah, right, exactly. Look at her. What happened to that woman?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Well, you know, she's like 11, basically. I mean, she really is like,
kid?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know how much money she's made to date because she was, you know, she was making profit at some other stage.
I'm the Kashmir Asai girl from the Dr. Phil show.
She's got like a massive social media following. So
you better give me money.
Yeah.
Then the whole entire family became messy. The father wanted to stop paying child support because she was now earning money and, messy. Messy, messy, messy.
What a disaster. Hey, so you know what we didn't say is that it's Women's Month.
Can you say that with a bit more?
No, I know my belly feels the same as me. It's just a
sympathy,
stupid thing.
Empathy.
No, you get these dumb, like I see it on social media now. There are these events that are happening all over the country. And you see these stupid ads on like television for Women's Month. And you think, you know, that's doing nothing. It's not helping any women's cause. It's doing nothing to help society start becoming a little more equal. It's doing nothing for women, full stop. It's just these dumb organizations who are trying to show how they care about women. You know what I mean?
Mm.
Stupid. So goddamn stupid. I saw a bit of live TV this weekend, and it got me thinking. They're all just trying to show that they care about women. You know what the problem is in South Africa? Is that in families, the women are not respected by the men in those families. That's what it is. And no one's going to change that in government or on Channel 101 or whoever else has got some dumb ad to show that they supposedly give a shit about women. Drives me mad. Had to get that off my chest first thing on a Monday.
That's all right.
It's Women's Month. So we're going to be highlighting the stories of a whole lot of women. Who would or would not be interesting people in spite of or because of their vagina. But of course, we're just going to make it all about that. It's all about that you're a woman.
And then the president will say something about women and everyone will clap.
Yeah. I mean, look at the
ANC. Really
ironic. Look at the ANC now. They got three rubbish candidates for president. Four. And three of them are women. So fucking what?
Who are they?
Lindiwe Sisulu. Nkosasana Dlamini Zuma. And Baleka Mbete. Now, at least two of those people are very dodgy. And the third one possibly also. But of course, they're going to highlight this as part of their campaign towards December. I'm a woman. Well, that in this election, that puts you at a disadvantage because there we've got two other women to choose from. Not an advantage. Know what I mean? Come on.
Yeah, well, for Baleka, I'd just go for the cougar situation. Not the cougar, but she got remarried recently,
She's pregnant.
That's not true.
Yes, she is.
Baleka,
that is not true.
Yes, she is.
Nope, let me check
this
out.
She's pregnant with stress at the moment.
Isn't she?
Around tomorrow.
Yeah, she's making a big announcement today about whether or not she's going to allow the secret ballot.
She's 67.
She's 67. I'm sorry.
She's not pregnant. You mean that old...
She is 67.
That old vagina can't produce a child? What?
Not at 67.
That was what I needed this morning. No.
Oh, I fell for it.
Yes, you did get married last year. Yeah, I remember that. Yeah,
she's got like a Ben 10, right?
Yeah. Good for her.
I remember that sort of gave my mother a twinkle in her eye last year. I was like, what are you talking about, woman? You is happily married. Sit down. She's like, oh, like almost gave her hope.
Look, you can be happily married and then also happily feast on a young thing. It's perfectly fine. Sure.
Are you trying to say my parents should break up?
I'm just saying people should do whatever they want.
She's saying them to stay together and be the example for you.
But
she can also start, you know.
Yeah.
My ass is wild the fuck.
Yo. Can you please give my mother a bit of respect? Can we not play that after talking about her?
Oh, very nice. All right, how was everybody's weekend? Speaking of Ben 10s.
Oh.
Sounds like you've got a story.
No, I just went on a very interesting date, that's all.
More.
How did it come from? It's Tinder? It's a friend of a friend? Where did it start?
Sorry. Through the DMs.
Oh, yeah.
So, just like, okay. If not, why not?
Listen, in 2017, that's a perfectly acceptable place for a relationship to start.
Absolutely.
In the DMs.
Yeah. True.
And that
true.
Is no joke.
I'm not taking any more requests, though.
But who slid into who, DM-wise?
He slid into mine.
Very nice.
Why do you guys sound surprised? It's as if, like, why wouldn't someone?
Yeah, given context, obviously we're not surprised.
Thank you.
That's very good.
Yeah, so it was that was Saturday night, and that was fantastic.
All right, so you were happy with the date? It went well?
I'm happy with the overall package that I got.
What, on the first date?
He already got his package?
Hold up. I just have to say, overall, he's everything that I sort of need if I check my list.
Yeah.
Travels a lot with work, so you're never here. Fantastic.
All right.
You have your own place. That's amazing. So you don't live with your mother. I don't have to worry about you. Slightly older, which means you're not going to go through like a midlife crisis. Well, hopefully not yet, at least. And we share like the same interests. Like literally halfway through dinner, I was like, if someone overheard this conversation, they'd think we're messed up. But we spoke about cologne and our love for V-neck t-shirts.
Oh my gosh.
deep.
Solid.
Heavage.
So I was like, oh my goodness, this is a connection. But
how much older are we talking here?
13 years older. So he's 35.
So he's my age.
Do you know what the thing is? No. Hold up. Before we do the comparisons, I think, oh Lord, now I just sound like a like someone with an older man horrible problem. But like, I don't really get a lot of people who are my age, because I'm just like, no, what are you going to talk to me about? Like getting stuck on campus on your way there and like how tough lectures were. I don't care about that. So like, I need someone who...
I see what you mean.
You know, we need to talk about philosophical life issues.
Right.
So let's see. It's all about dating right now. So... couple more dinners and let's see where things go. If it makes any more consolation, Beyonce and Jay-Z have like a 12-year difference.
35. No, I don't. Older man.
So he's not old.
No,
ew,
he's
Ben.
No.
Oh, now you just creeped me out.
No, but you get...
an older man.
You know, you get people who look their age.
Yeah.
He doesn't look his age.
Yeah, true.
So that's a plus.
Yeah, true,
he
true.
Could get away with looking much younger.
True. Because he's amazing. He's amazing as well. Oh, guys, now I feel like I'm a little cougar. No, well, he's the cougar.
No, he's the cougar.
You're the prey.
Yeah. You just relax.
I'm a fresh, you know, young, juicy meat kiss.
What do you care what other people think? Here's the deal. If you meet someone and there's an age gap,
mm-hmm.
and it works for you two, go for it. And I mean, this is obviously early days for this date. But let's imagine it ends up becoming a thing.
Yeah.
I don't care if he's 10 or 15 years older than you. I mean, there are relationships where there are up to 20 years of age difference between people. Don't worry about it.
Let's see how things go. Yeah. Let's see how things go.
Do you?
I mean, if Balek, I can get married at age 67.
Then I could
You're allowed to mount a 35-year-old and just ride.
If she could get pregnant at 67, I mean,
hey,
to me,
hold on.
You're allowed.
Hold on. But yeah, so that was my yumminess done.
Do you know what I did this weekend? Mm-hmm. I watched a lot of videos of ISIS guys being killed.
Oh, wow. Just
is there a channel
after
for that
talking
now?
About love, yeah. We go.
It really made me happy. Because you know how you get on YouTube or on any of these sites, you find one video. What are you laughing at? Do you think that's funny, Amanda? Amanda thinks this is
like,
great.
No, it really made me happy.
It's good. You've done it too, right?
No, those ISIS videos are very interesting.
They're fantastic.
Last year, I used to be obsessed with it.
Okay, because what happens is, like, you go and you watch one, and then they like, yeah. Like, you know, they kick up
the recommended ones.
Yeah, kick up 20 of the same, and then you just get into it, and before you know it, it's like been 2 hours. You've been watching ISIS guys being shot to shit and
blown
up.
That's a YouTube rabbit hole.
Driven over by trucks. It's so much fun. I love it. They always, always, always before they die, they say, "Allahu Akbar!" Something horrible happens to them. It's just unbelievable.
Was this like your Saturday morning with cereal?
Yeah.
And
yeah. I was lying in bed watching these YouTube videos. I eventually only got out of bed at like 11:30.
That's a lot of death.
It was it's so much fun though. Oh, are you kidding? Because no, these are terrible human beings, right? They are the worst people on earth. All they want to do is kill people who don't agree with them. I mean, to me, that's the most awful type of human being. They just, for no good reason other than you disagree with them, they're going to kill you. And they hate women, and they hate anybody who questions their religion. And they're just the most awful, backward, primitive people. And to see them being shot to shit by superior technology is just my favorite thing. I loved it so much. And there's this site I found, or it's a page on Facebook.
Mm-hmm.
There's this group, and all they do is they just gather up all this crap all over the internet. It's so much fun.
You also get those videos when they kill themselves accidentally.
Yeah, that's the best.
Like firing rocket launchers inside, and it's kind of they're facing the wrong way, and the guy's standing behind them.
Are these like allowed on YouTube? Doesn't YouTube have like a policy of?
I don't know whether these they certainly come up on Facebook, like. There's this one guy. Let me play this for you quickly. All they're shouting is Allahu Akbar the whole time, and then they get fucked up, and Allah's not so Akbar. You know what I mean? Now, these guys, these idiots, let me tell you what's happened here. These guys are just fired on an American jet, all right? So there's the U.S. military jet is flying over them, and they have like a gun on the back of a truck,
mm-hmm.
and they aim at this thing, and they pa 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 pa, and then of course you know the jet turns around and comes back to show them what it's all about.
Allahu Akbar.
Allahu Akbar. Right, here it comes, and they're all running towards the car now, and then they there seems to be complete chaos and disorganization. They don't know what's happening. And I love it. Then you just hear the jet coming in the distance. And you're like, this is what... let me teach you about multiculturalism, radical Islamists. You're about to be schooled. Are you ready?
Oh my goodness.
And the whole fucking place just goes up in flames. There's like 1,000 of them, just like bodies flying everywhere. It's so much fun. And then there's always one afterwards who goes, Allahu
Akbar.
Yeah, because he was so Akbar, he let them blow you and your friends up.
So Allahu Akbar means God is Allah great. God is great.
Yeah.
Oh, and you have to...
They scream it the whole time. It's all they know. It's almost like... It's like a retarded child that just keeps saying spoons over and over again. Fucking ridiculous.
There was a guy who was found at the Eiffel Tower this past weekend, actually, who was shouting Allahu Akbar with a knife in his hand.
You know, if someone must scream that near me, I swear to God, I will pull out my gun and I will not waste a single... Just don't do it around me. I'm nervous enough. I watched enough of these videos to know that usually after or before that gets said, something shit happens. I will shoot you. You know it's going
to
be bad, right?
I have nothing to say.
You know
say.
It's going
to
go horribly wrong. Anyway, all right. So, Sia had a great date this weekend. You do anything fun, Amanda?
No, not at all.
I thought you were going to go out this weekend.
I really don't know what's got into me. Like, I'm either aging or I don't know what the hell is aging. Wow. I have just become the lamest person ever.
Nothing wrong. Did you stay home?
No, I did go somewhere, but it wasn't great. It wasn't exciting, you know.
All right.
Yeah.
And Ben, there was a lot of sport you were talking about before the weekend. Did you watch all of it? You
see, yeah, pretty much, Gareth. And that was, I came very close to tears, and it kind of ruined my Saturday. I haven't been this sad for, I maybe since Jock of the Bushveld, the original one where the dog died.
Oh, wow. Hang on a second. Is this the Lions or Usain Bolt?
Well, you know what? Let's get into it in the sport.
All right.
I don't want to get all choked up and emotional now.
Oh.
Save it for something where I meant to do that.
Wow, you're going to get choked up and emotional.
Oh, man.
That's very unlike you, Ben. We don't often hear that from you.
It's just certain things that really piss me off. Like, I support so many loser teams that, like, I can understand loss. But Saturday was like a different kind of loss and a different kind of sadness, and it really broke my spirit.
Well, a lot of people are already saying it was your fault for jinxing the Lions.
I know that so well. I'm choking up. Come back in a moment. I got all choked up.
She just told everyone your deepest, darkest secret. You must be so embarrassed.
All right. Yes, I didn't watch any of that stuff over the weekend. I just watched those ISIS videos. That's all I did.
I just know it was a big thing because everywhere I was driving to over the weekend, there were just these signs and these, you know, like, oh, go Lions and whatnot. I was like, okay, it's evidently a major thing.
It was a great day out. Like, I really enjoyed the whole experience. Ellis Park's amazing.
Oh, you went to the stadium even.
But it was so funny. There was this woman in front of us in this, like, tatty red beret, and I think Ellis Park is her jewel. Like, you know, you get the Durban July You know, you get like the Cannes Awards or Oscars or whatever. This is her thing. And every time the referee would do something, this woman would jump up. I mean, she ended up probably having buns of steel, shouting, "Fuck yo, Yaku!" And like just going nuts at the ref. Like,
oh, really?
Put your glasses on, man. Like, she was just shouting everything. And like, you sit there, and not that I'm a rugby snob or whatever, but I understand what the rules of rugby are, right? And I appreciate what a referee does. As I mentioned last week, and you sit around and all these drunken heathens shouting the ref for doing his job.
Definitely.
And it goes down the generations. There was a 7-year-old child probably 2 rows back from me. I mean, if that child has a voice today, I'll be amazed. Just shouting whatever his dad was shouting, and then when it didn't understand what the dad was shouting, it would then just go back to, "Go Lions!"
Oh my goodness.
That was the actual sound of the voice. I've been practicing all weekend.
Wow.
But it's such a
indoctrination.
It's just amazing. You sit around here and then obviously they...
Well, that's the same as Allahu Akbar. Like, go Lions. It's the same thing.
It's a dumb thing
your parents taught you and you think it's going to help you. It's going to make things better. And you make no difference, by the way, to the game, no matter how loud you shout. I hate to point this out to sports fans, and I know Ben's going to stand up for them. But if you're a sports fan, you're a fucking idiot. I mean... You are wasting your time. You're putting all your energy into a team that don't know you exist. You're buying all the merchandise. You're helping prop up their shitty game. I mean, they lose.
Gareth,
they lose.
It's just stupid, you know it. Now you're just trying to be...
I don't watch sport. I'm totally objective
about
this.
Okay, so what must these people do, Gareth? People who have...
They must masturbate furiously at home so it doesn't involve the rest of us. You're not allowed to shout and scream and go to a stadium and block traffic and wear your dumb shirt and teach your children how to shout and scream.
But
as well.
I also sometimes wear my lucky underwear and I have my pre-game ritual.
Don't you pretend you're a sportsman.
All
fan.
Of this.
I know you don't care about
no,
sport.
I'm speaking Gareth, for
there,
the
if
masses.
If there was no sport, this world really would be fucked, but like properly. And don't even try like argue with me on that because you know I'm right. Sport gives so much to so many different countries and so many different people. Take away sport and then we will literally have complete and utter anarchy in the
sport. No, take away sport and people will be like me. They'll be watching ISIS videos in their beds on Saturday morning and not bothering anyone else.
Yeah, that's what the world needs.
I don't know how to stand up for you there, Kev.
There will be more bestiality in this world if you take away sport.
You think?
I reckon there'll be a lot more domestic violence if you take away sport.
Oh, no, there's plenty of that going around.
Yeah, even more.
Even with sport.
Okay, but how about that? Even more.
And by sportsmen.
I mean, you sound like those Bible bashing guys who say, well, if there weren't the 10th.
I'm the extremist, yeah.
No, you do. if we didn't have the Ten Commandments, people would be raping and killing each other the whole time. Is that what you're saying?
No, but that's stupid because the Ten Commandments is like, well, no shit, don't kill someone. You've got to be a moron if you think those are worth anything. Sport gives you purpose. It gives people something to actually dream for and work towards and be a part of. Because there's no tribalism anymore. There's no purpose to life. So if you can go watch the Lions,
there's plenty of tribalism, trust me.
No, but not genuine, decent stuff, though.
Oh, the whole world is consumed in like tribalism at the moment. What do you think all of this left versus right shit is? What do you think all this racism is?
But that's shit, Gareth. That's exactly what my point is. That kind of stuff is just dreadful. But if there was no sport, everybody would then latch onto the crap you just mentioned.
On
about
a
being
low
left
level,
and right.
Sport does that. It encourages that kind of behavior. People shouldn't be screaming and shouting.
But it puts you within the realm of sports. That's completely healthy, and it boosts the economy.
It's not.
It gives kids something to do other than masturbate.
Dumb. Oh. Read a book. How about that? Would that kill you?
Yeah, I read sports books all the time.
Not you,
tremendous stories out there. I mean,
you do a lot of other stuff. You don't just sit in front of... I mean, I've seen these fat, useless people sit in front of the TV and scream at the TV all Saturday. And I'm thinking you should really have more to live for. I agree with you, there should be more. But it doesn't come from the Lions.
But what
Saint
harm...
Saint Bolt.
What harm is there if they're doing it on a Saturday, one day out of all 7 days in the week?
Because look what Ben said. There's this child sitting there, and it's learning to be a dick from its parents.
Yeah,
who learned to be a dick from their parents because they watch sport.
Yeah, but that's not sport's fault. That's the parents' fault.
Exactly. Would you rather want that child just screaming at cars? Just like he does on a Sunday?
Those people should be digging a hole somewhere. That's what they should be doing.
Sounding very elitist this morning.
How about picking up papers?
Oh, just this morning.
How about picking up papers on the side of the road? Why don't all those sports fans who go to Ellis Park clean up that neighborhood in Ellis Park? Have you seen how disgusting it is?
Because we haven't got 20 years, Gareth. Chief, if the traffic was so bad, we'd drive somewhere else.
Why doesn't everyone who goes to that dumb Lions game, why don't they all pick up a piece of paper and then that part of town won't look like it was hit by a hurricane?
That part of town is a hurricane.
Yes. What is it called, that part of town?
Selby or something.
I was in there the other day. I had to go for a meeting nearby. I felt like I needed
Doornfontein.
I felt like I needed to wash as soon as I got out of there.
Mm.
Dirty place.
We went through this area on the way home where the stray dogs don't even go anymore. You can see them there. One was caught there. He was just running.
My whole neighborhood at the moment is a big... It looks like trench warfare is taking place.
Oh, they're finally getting fiber.
No, they're replacing all the water pipes in the whole neighborhood. So everywhere there's just this orange like fabric that they put up with the poles to alongside the roads. It just looks awful. It looks like there's a battle taking place. Really. It's just so ugly and it's bad enough in the winter. Like I've always said this, and this is where Cape Tonians have the major advantage and people in Durban.
Mm-hmm.
Joburg and Pretoria are so hideous in winter. They're so dry and brown and crap and dusty. Everything just looks really, really depressing. I'm surprised that the suicide rate isn't higher.
During winter.
Yeah, well, it's because of sport.
You think?
Yeah. Take away sport, people will be going, oh, look at these sewers. Look how dry it is. I'm going to kill myself. But no, they go, hey, the Lions are in the final. How about I not kill myself?
Ben, here's a message for you. Go Bulls supporter on Gareth and blixam him.
You have just perpetuated a bad stereotype.
The stereotype which Gareth was exactly speaking of.
And this isn't quite the season for Bulls jokes.
Oh, okay, here's someone who agrees with me. Roman, obviously.
Oh, well, he doesn't count.
Surprise, here.
Roman says, abolish sport. Singapore has no sports teams, and look at that place.
They do.
Complete anarchy, man.
They have a football field that floats in the water.
What?
Sport is alive and well in Singapore. They have a giant stadium. The Sun Wolves in Super Rugby, they play there.
What do you mean it floats in the water?
It's just someone made a floating thing. They have the Singapore Grand Prix. See, you don't know sports, you don't know shit about the world. They have golf courses. Singapore has numerous golf courses.
All right.
And they have a swimmer who won gold in the Olympics. His name I do not know right now.
Mm.
But okay. He won gold.
No, we have that too. Doesn't exactly help prop up our economy. All right, let's get into some news. It is time for the latest headlines with Mabali Molloy. It's brought to you by Colcacchio's Pizzeria. Let's find out what's happening in the news. Mabs, over to you.
Mabali Molloy.
today is the theme over the next couple of days. And no, it's not my favorite kind of D, but rather deadline day.
There we go. Mabala's back, ladies and gentlemen.
Balekambete is today going to announce her decision on whether or not that little secret ballot situation is going to, in fact, take place tomorrow on August the 8th. Or if she will decide against it.
And all of this while she's pregnant.
Oh, right. She's expected to announce her decision this afternoon at around 3:30 p.m. She will hold a briefing at Parliament. Political parties are pushing for a vote of no confidence in the president, with the Democratic Alliance saying over this past Saturday that it believes the speaker is being reckless in leaving it up to the last moment to announce her decision. The DA-led motion of no confidence in the president will take place tomorrow. The ANC has called for its members of parliament to vote in favor of their leader. But the EFF are apparently ready if they feel that Balekambete doesn't make the right decision this afternoon. They have already prepared legal papers to interdict the National Assembly speaker should she refuse to allow for the secret ballot.
Yeah, Justice was saying on Friday, oh, Julius has got lawyers everywhere just waiting to be sprung from the trap. Yeah, it's going to be great.
Talk about preparation. According to the EFF, they say the papers are ready. When she gives that letter, we will not even read the whole thing, but just the conclusion. And once she says open vote, we are serving her. So they are ready. So that's Balekambete's D-Date.
Let's take a bet in this. I mean, who's got some spare cash?
Oh, goodness.
Let's just do $50.
I mean, let's get Justice in, too.
No,
we've
no,
got
no,
a bit with Justice.
We don't have time to wait until Thursday.
No, we just call him up and say, Justice, are you in for 50?
Well, we need to do it by the end of the show today because she's all got right. That briefing happening this afternoon.
All right, so let's just, I'll message Justice.
Okay.
Yeah, I'll WhatsApp him and see if he's in. Okay, but I'm going to say, obviously, she's not going to go with the secret ballot.
Yeah.
Anybody want to take the opposite side?
You know, previous experience tells me that I shouldn't hold my breath.
No, not much of a bet.
You know what? I think she is because the ANC have wined and dined their MPs to death over this weekend, so they've got no problems. Secret ballot, not. They're all going to make the right choice.
You reckon, Ben?
Yeah, I reckon.
Okay.
I mean, at what stage do we become less cynical about the ANC and what they've done?
Sure.
What does the past 2 years tell us?
I think Mabali and I are pretty much on the most cynical scale ever when it comes to them. So,
well, I'll stop being cynical about it at the stage where they start making different choices.
As will I.
Yeah. So that's Balekambete's D-Day, and then tomorrow it will be the president's D-Day. Tuesday is D-Day for the president, yeah. And by the end of tomorrow he will know whether he has survived the umpteenth attempt. Honestly, we've all lost count.
It's eight times that they've brought a motion of no confidence against this guy.
That's not a good record to hold.
You know, we laugh at Donald Trump and Vladimir Putin and Silvio Berlusconi, but they haven't had eight motions of no confidence against them, as far as I know.
Yeah, who's keeping count? Okay, on that one again, I'm going to say, jumping out of my shadow here.
I'm keeping count. I just told you eight.
He's going to, Gareth, he's not going to be ousted.
No, that's true. You're exactly right.
Okay, so hang on, Ben. You're saying that Balekambete will come back today and say, yes, secret ballot, but the president will not be ousted.
Yes, so Balekambete is going to basically do the right thing, just so there's no controversy, and then the ANC will just do the same thing. So,
all right, because I'll tell you why.
You've been writing for Game of Thrones.
So basically, they'll give with one hand and take back with all four limbs, like normally happens.
Because opposition parties have been claiming that they have secured enough votes to meet the 201 numbers that would be required to have the president voted out.
So Justice explained this on Friday too, if you're doing the maths.
Mm.
You know, we're not good at the maths, but no. He helped us. He figured it out. So what you need is 50 ANC MPs to vote against the president.
Provided that the Communist Party does not vote against the whole thing.
Well, if they do,
they're in on the mix.
Listen, the president was at some rally over the weekend, and he tore a new one into the SACP, said they're nothing without the ANC. He was very vocal. Which makes me think maybe they're going to turn against him.
Oh, Gareth, again, it comes back to where is the bread buttered?
No.
He has the bread and the butter and the knife to threaten you with if you don't want to pull train here.
Yeah, you're right.
Sure, he's got all three.
And he's got the baker who makes more of the bread under the same knife.
So the opposition parties claim that if this is a secret ballot, they will have the numbers that are needed. But Zuma supporters are telling citizens and each other that removing the president is not in the country's best interests. I don't know how they
figure. How do you figure that?
I don't know,
I'd love
Gareth.
To sit down with those people and go, all right, so explain yourself. Who gets on the news and says that and nobody questions them? Okay, let's talk about this. How is it not in the country's best interest to remove the man who has dragged us down to unemployment figures like we have, zero growth in the economy, fired umpteenth cabinet ministers.
A technical recession.
Recession. He's loaded with 700 and something charges of fraud, racketeering, and all kinds of other really nefarious things. How is this guy good? How did he even get here? Oh, hang on. Oh, that's why you're saying that. I got you. Because you were part of the problem. Here's what those ANC members and those supporters of the president don't understand, is that we know that they're as rotten as he is. And we understand that if we get rid of him, we're going to have to get rid of them too. The whole rotten, leaking, creaking cart full of them. Got to be turfed out for the rubbish they are. Left on the side of the street. All right, what else is there?
Well, police are still searching for the two suspects who have been on the run since Wednesday when six men attacked a couple at a KFC fast food outlet in Montana in Pretoria North. Four suspects were arrested and they appeared before the Pretoria North Court on Friday. One was granted bail. Three are still in custody. And the alleged suspects are repeat offenders, according to the police minister. They've been charged previously on, you know, or they have pending assault cases against them still. So it would seem that these are
just shitheads.
These are people who basically go around behaving like douches. And of course, the video went viral, and then, you know, social media exploded, and then arguments ensued. But four arrests were made, two suspects still on the run. And the four who were arrested will appear in court again this coming Friday.
I've never understood people who go around like beating other people up.
Mm.
You know, these people also go out at night.
Because they haven't got sport to play, so they haven't got anywhere to vent.
This will be a recurring
Careful now,
theme this
because
morning.
I will guarantee you, once we find out more about these people, that they're massive sports fans. Just be very careful. I'm telling you, someone posted this, a white friend of mine, on like Saturday morning. And I was too busy with ISIS videos to stop and watch.
Mm-hmm.
But I thought, I went, oh no. Because they say racist attack, right? In the little blurb. I'm like, oh no. Because a white friend of mine posting it, so I thought, oh no, this is going to be like black people on white people, mm-hmm. for, you know, to balance it. So I didn't even watch it because of that. And then I found out afterwards what it was because it was going all over the place. And I just thought, oh, do we need this? Do we need people like this in our society?
Absolutely not. But unfortunately, these people walk among us.
Can't we send them somewhere?
Where?
I don't know. There's a big floating island of rubbish somewhere in the Pacific. Can't we put them there? Haven't you heard about this with all the plastic?
Yeah, it is.
It all gathers up in the middle of the Pacific. There's this one like dead zone where all the plastic from the whole Pacific Ocean goes there, and then it all binds because it's all, you know. Can't we put those people on that? The island of plastic, and just leave them there? I don't see why that's a problem.
I don't see why that's a problem either, no. If I have to be honest.
Please, Fikile, you want to really make a difference? Because he thought he caught OJ the way he was carrying on.
Mm.
And if you want to make a difference, Fikile, just gather up these people, all these racist incidents, and just these douchebags who, as my buddy says, are walking among us, just these people who go around beating each other up and doing dumb stuff, arrest them all, put them on the island of plastic, and let's be done with it. That's all we need. Move on. There is no way to rehabilitate these people, bring them into society. Everybody says, oh, we must open a dialogue. If you see these people, they're animals. Take them away to the island of plastic and let's just be done with it. If they manage to make it somewhere from the island of plastic, then let them live there. But that's far enough from us that we don't have to give a shit.
Yeah.
Right?
I don't see a problem with that as a solution.
Yeah. Awesome. Island of plastic. You can thank me, Fikile. All right. Let's get to Ben. See what's going on in the space.
Sorry. See, I'll just get tissues ready there for our Ben. It's going to be a tough one.
Yeah. Well, let's start with the Lions, right? So, on, yes, I know. I predicted the Lions were going to win, and I still stand by that prediction. I still think that they would have been the better team. But, and again, there's always the but, isn't it, with South African sport. Kwaga Smith got sent off. And despite what everyone around me at Ellis Park was saying to the referee was right in what he did, right?
Kwaga.
There is such a grey area, but the rules are pretty clear. When you watch it and you go, oh, they just collided in midair, why is that guy getting sent off? But according to the rules, you can't engage in contact while people are airborne. Okay, obviously I'm paraphrasing this badly, but the Crusaders fullback went up for the ball. He was contesting it. Kwaga just basically ran into him. But running into a guy in the air could spell catastrophe.
Yes.
You could have paralysis.
Absolutely.
You could be like drinking out of a straw for the rest of your life. So he got sent off. And that was that. The Lions then played, well, a massive chunk of the match with just 14 players. And that, well, that kills the final. Basically, the mood dropped so badly. It was like, well, it was basically like a limp dick on a honeymoon. Everyone just looked around. There was like crickets. And I was like, oh, well, this isn't going to go well. Mm-hmm. And it was this deathly silence. And the Crusaders, they piled on the points early. The Lions, to their credit, well, they came back very, very hard. And they tried what they could to get back in this game. They lost by 8 points in the end. But it was all them in that second half. To think they were getting absolutely hammered. So credit to the Lions. Great heart. The captain thanked Jesus afterwards because obviously he played a massive role. But that
was the Lions captain?
Yeah.
What, he sold you down the river and you thank him?
No, Jesus played a massive role. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Just acknowledging the fact that Jesus...
Yeah.
But hang on, Jesus was for the Crusaders.
Well, exactly, Gareth.
Oh, so why are they thanking him? If you're a Lion, you should be saying, fuck you.
Yeah, and if Kwaga went off, that was the time for Jesus to pull up the socks and get in there.
Right.
Like then it would have been 15-15.
Right. I don't think Jesus likes being told F you, Gareth. I mean, I don't know a lot about...
It doesn't seem to make a difference. The guys who prayed for him, they didn't win. Yeah. So I'm going to say the opposite and see if that has some reaction.
Probably wasn't, yeah. I mean, look, if Jesus isn't going to pick sides, it's going to be the Crusaders, right? Because when
he did. Because who won?
Because the Crusaders were essentially a marauding mass of Catholic people who were killing people as well.
Right.
So either way, an African animal is not going to be on the same level as a Crusader. Strange name, by the way. Crusaders.
Yeah. Is Kwaga, what's his name? That's a strange name.
That's a term of endearment. Let's not lose track here, Mbali. But it's just funny how in Cape Town, basically, everyone from the Cape Flats that supports the Crusaders, right? You could not find a more racist-looking team in the world. White guys on horses just killing people.
The Kwaga is extinct.
Yes.
So why would you call someone... Why don't you give them a nickname of some horribly extinct, unsatisfactory, evolutionarily retarded animal like the Kwaga? That's mean. You're basically saying you're not going to be in business for a long time.
Well, he wasn't after the red card. Yeah, he was quacked off. Yeah, so Jaco Pepe, obviously people were then venting all the frustration out on him because he gave the red card. But that's how it happens, right? This is how it happens. And I'm just so fed up of South African teams coming second best. And these New Zealand teams with their... coaches with the floppy hair and their stupid dancing, and it's just annoying. It's just so annoying. No matter what these guys do, seriously, you could have cut their hamstrings, all of them. They would somehow find a way of like still playing. It's so annoying how good these guys are.
Right.
And at the same time, how South African teams just squander the opportunities. Golden one right there. That was it for the Lions. And I mean, they just showed in the second half what this team is capable of. And there was a loss. So that was that. As you can see, they named his Springbok squad. And Ruan Combrink was not in it, which would go on to suggest that he just doesn't like Ruan Combrink. Simple as that.
It's personal, huh?
Warwick Gallant has made it into the team, which is really good news. I think he's really, really good. But there's no Francois Steyn because apparently he needs to recoup for the European preseason. Doesn't make any sense whatsoever. But yeah, look, it's a decent squad. And let's rather just comment about the team getting picked because squads are squads. But it is very strange that... You know, Peter Steph's toy is still there. Damon DeAllen is still there. They've thrown absolutely no form for these selections. And, well, people will be naturally very upset about that. Kieran Bosch also in the squad, so that's a positive. On to the football. Arsenal versus Chelsea. It was Community Shield. That's it. It's very unglamorous sounding thing, the Community Shield.
That sounds like the sort of thing that we used to play for in high school.
Yeah, exactly.
The Community Shield.
Arsenal are very good at these lesser tournaments, though. Not only do they win their own Emirates Cup every single year, even when they're not the best team, they also take great pride in this. So it was 1-1. Well, it was 1-0 to Chelsea, actually, and then they got a guy sent off. Arsenal then got the equaliser. It went into penalties, and the APA format was used, Gareth.
Yes.
So that means that the team who's drawn first kicks a penalty, and then the next team kicks two. That is to try and negate any advantage it would be to go first, and then you alternate from there. And Chelsea, well, they were crap at that. They lost 4-1 in penalties. So Arsenal win their first title of the year. Very exciting. People now want Wenger to stay until next week, of course. So a good day for them. In the crickets, well, same old, really. The Proteas showing absolutely bugger all heart, and they're just capitulating with the bat. Now, England, they didn't start off that great. It's just so frustrating to see how they just kept on getting runs. Johnny Bairstow got 99 in the end, and it's just missed opportunities, no ruthlessness from the bowlers. And then when it came to bat, same old. No one's getting 50s. Definitely no one's getting 100s. And then even yesterday, when the Proteas did fight back with the ball, Moeen Ali was dropped at, I think, on 12. He's now blazing ahead on 60. So the lead is more than 350. Mm-hmm. And again, the Proteas are praying for rain. So pretty much they're just no different to Cape Townians. Only difference is the Proteas need to win stuff. And then, well, Athletics.
Yes.
It was just so sad. So incredibly sad. Well, firstly, the South African long jumpers, they were fantastic. Gold and bronze there. Very, very nice. Wade van Niekerk was great in the heats. Akani Simbini, he got into the final of the men's 100.
Yes.
All looking pretty good. But it was Bolt's final race, of course. And with that, he was running a pretty strong field. I mean, the heats were really, really good. Simbini won his heat to get into that final. Gatlin was there. This new guy called Coleman was there, who's run the fastest time of the year. And Johan Blake was there. It was a good heat. And, Gatlin won it. Now, Gatlin has been bussed for drugs twice. And normally, if you get bussed for drugs once, that should be the end of you.
Yeah, how twice, come he's back?
That should definitely be the end of you. But look, the crowd was booing him. Everyone thinks he's a bit of a dick. He's obviously said some things about Usain Bolt in the past as well, which are just nothing more than, well, just not very
smack
nice.
Smack talk,
yeah. But unnecessary smack talk. And he won. So, again, you know, if Jesus is watching sport, I don't think he is, because this was not the result that anybody wanted. It was not the result that Bolt deserved. This drug cheat comes out of nowhere. He wins. It's not fair, Gareth. It's just not fair. And Bolt's just like, he's been the greatest sports story of our time. And his final race is losing to a drug cheat. It's just not fair. It's not right. It's just not on.
But even Anthea's rolling her eyes. Why? What are you? What's your dog in this fight?
I don't care, Anthea.
I'm just
don't care.
So
you can roll your eyes somewhere else.
I'm so amused by Ben's passion.
I know. But look, even technically speaking, he had a very slow reaction time. You know, 0.18 of a second reaction time to the start gun. Gatlin was 0.13.
Oh.
So Bolt is actually the second worst in the whole race.
Well, if you're wired, you usually, you know, you react a lot more.
Yeah,
fast.
Exactly. And obviously,
Gatlin might have been wired.
And, you know, you got a quick reactions because you're always looking to hide your drugs just in case someone was to find you.
Yeah, he's used to the police coming.
So Bolt's start wasn't great. He tried so hard to come back, and he did come back really hard at the two Americans, but that was it. It was third.
Oh,
Simbini got a very credible fifth. Again, he's just showing he is making step-by-step great progress there. But like a commentator put it into perspective quite quickly, he said, you know what, Bolt's entire career has actually been a bit of a fairy tale. Maybe this was, he couldn't get it all the way to the end.
Well, he was very nice afterwards. I heard him saying, you know, Justin Gatlin's very good and he does well. And on his night, when it's his night, he's going to kill everybody else.
Yeah.
And he said, you know, my legs are tired and I've never felt sore after a race before. He said, maybe it's time for me to go.
Well, that's exactly what it is. So he's got one more thing to do. It's the 4x100 meters. Wade van Niekerk will be in the finals of the 400 meters on Tuesday night, which looks like he's just going to piss it. I mean, this guy is just all over it right now. He really is just dominant. He cruised through the heats, no problem whatsoever. But yeah, I mean, Gareth, this is as sad as I've been about sport, because Bolt was just so much more than the sports person. He was a great story, no matter what, and no matter what your take on sport is. he gave so much more. It's like he brought the fans along with this whole journey. You'll hear that a lot being said by him. Don't play this. He's not dying. It's just his career is coming to an end, and it just there'll be no one like him. There'll literally be no one like him. And whether 958 is ever going to be beaten in the 100-and-odd lifetime, well, I'll be massively surprised if it is. This guy is just, he is the greatest. He was the greatest. He is still going to be the greatest. And it's just sad that that's how things happen in sport.
I'm sorry, Ben. I feel your pain.
There's winners and losers, but yeah. See, that's it. Just sad, really.
All right. I think we should maybe go to Anthea. Anthea's even depressed now. Thanks very much, Ben. All right, let's get to the money for this morning. Anthea has a look at the stock market on Friday and lots of other things that are going on in the economy that you need to be aware of, that you need to be au fait with so that you don't sound like an idiot at the coffee machine this morning. Right, here she is, Anthea Gardner. Are you ready? That is Taylor Swift who said that. Over to you, Anthea. What's up?
Okay, well, I don't have terrible news because the All share was up 0.5% on Friday, and for the week it was 2% higher.
Huh.
Unfortunately, though, the rand keeps blowing out. It's 13.47 against the US dollar on Friday, 17.55 to the pound, and 15.90 to the euro. So really, you know, last time I remember, 2 weeks ago, was below 13. So this is big. But then again, I don't think this was all our doing. The dollar strengthened quite a bit. They had non-farm payrolls on Friday in the US, and they came in at 209,000 as opposed to the expected 180,000 jobs created for July. So now unemployment in the US is very comfortably at 4.3%. And then I think what happened in addition, what everyone's been waiting for, is that wage growth was up 2.5% for the annum. And so, of course, this pushed the Dow to yet new all-time highs. I think this is the seventh straight record close for the Dow Jones, which is fantastic. Of course, the flip side of the stronger dollar is that we had weaker commodity prices, and so of course our resources shares, which should have come under pressure, actually didn't. The only resource shares that were suffering a bit were golds, which Anglo Gold, probably the biggest one, it was down 3.5%. Sibanye Gold had a nice over 2% bounce on Friday, so kind of very counterintuitive. Financials as well, which should have been weaker on the weaker rand, were also higher on Friday, except for Liberty Holdings. They closed down 6%. They reported their first half results pretty much in line with what we saw from the trading statement that they released a couple of weeks ago. Normalized headline earnings down 30%, which is absolutely shocking. I think the only thing to save this share is potentially the fact that they still have a fairly high dividend yield. You know, they announced an interim dividend of R2.76, and that's just for the half year. And I think normally they backload it, so the second half of the year is probably going to be a bit higher. And on a 105 rand share, that'll probably make it a 6% dividend yield, which, again, you know, there's nothing wrong with a dividend yielding stock.
No.
Yeah. The problem with Liberty Holdings, though, was that the insurance underperformed. Lots of pressure there. Earnings was down 17% year on year to 597 million rand. And then their asset management business, which is Stanlib, really seems to be struggling. Earnings down 54%. I mean, that's just shocking. That is unbelievable. I think the only good thing with Stanlib is that they seem to have stopped the bleed in their assets under management, because, you know, that's how they make money. The more assets under management, the more money they make. And they've been bleeding badly. But that seems to have been contained. They now have 593 billion rand under management.
Only?
Yeah. So it's not quite the Coronation 600, but close.
Who has most assets under management?
Coronation.
Really? 600?
Yeah, from you mean single asset managers?
Yes, sure.
Yeah. Coronation, yeah. Huh. But you know, the government employee pension fund is the biggest employee pension fund, and that's just trillions. That's 1.7 trillion or something.
Wow.
It's mad, eh? It's a crazy number. I'm surprised you're not playing my billions and billions.
Well, if you want
hundreds
it,
of billions in this case. Yeah, no, well, in our case, even trillions.
He doesn't talk about trillions, otherwise I would.
He needs to catch up that one.
Billions and billions and billions and billions and billions and...
All right, we get it. Thank
When's
you,
it going to get old, I wonder?
No, never.
Okay. And then in the retail sector... So you remember, no, it was this year still, Visser was saying that he wanted to combine or merge Steinhoff and ShopRite, and there was a big fuss about it, and it never went through because shareholders couldn't decide on the price. The man is not giving up. On Friday, he announced...
I wish he would not give up on Brait, because that goddamn share...
It's had a little bounce. It's like, 66 rand a share from, below 50 at one stage?
Pearly.
Oh, you're so impatient. Oh, wow. Okay, back to Steinhoff. So,
He's not giving up, huh? What's happening?
Yeah. So they previously mentioned that they want to separate the African retail business and list it. So, on Friday, they said they're going to call it STAR, Steinhoff African Retail, very original, and that they have an option, or a call option, I should say, to buy 22.7% of ShopRite shares, which will give them 50% of the voting rights. And the call option is from Visser's Triton Investment Company, it's kind of his family office, if you like, Lancaster, and the PIC, which is our local government investment, what do they call themselves, corporation.
Mm-hmm.
That'll cost Steinhoff 35.5 billion rand. I think what's interesting about it, you know, Steinhoff has spent so much time kind of globally picking up discount retailers, Poundland, the mattress firm, Australia's Fantastic. And now what they're doing is they're going to take all those kind of discount retailers and, well, no, they're actually not lumping them together, but it makes sense that this African retail business is going to be those discount retailers. So Pepco, Ackermans, Techie Town, Hi-Fi Corporation, there's a couple of them. I think the only one that's not going in there, in that group, is a company called Unitrans, which is their logistics business, because it's not really retail, is it? And I think what that's going to do, other than give them proper voting rights for ShopRite, is open up kind of 14 other African markets, you know, some of the fast-growing ones like Nigeria, Angola, Zambia. And then it'll take those discount retailers, Pep, Take It Down, Ackermans, as I mentioned earlier on, and just expand them across the continent. So not a bad play. I mean, I always thought the ShopRite Steinhoff play was to externalize the Visser money, but maybe it's not. Maybe he does want to leave it on the continent, and he just wants to consolidate his interests.
All right.
Yeah. And then we need to talk about paper. So I remember when I started in the industry.
You mean paper money? Are you talking about?
No, paper. Like real paper.
Oh, like Sappy and...
Yes.
Okay.
Mondi's the other one. In fact, they reported last week. I remember when I started in the industry, paper was considered a sunset industry. Like it was going nowhere, you know? Like when last have you actually bought a paper read, a magazine? Actually, an interesting thing happened yesterday. Somebody sent me an article from the Sunday Independent through their press reader. And even though I don't have a subscription, I could read it.
Yeah.
So I would have thought that I couldn't. Like, what's the point of having a paper newspaper?
There are still newspapers who have a paywall between you and the stories.
Yeah, like Financial Times. Right, like, exactly. I wish I could share those stories, but I can't.
Yeah, but those will continue to, because of the high quality of their content, be able to demand that you pay for it. But most of them now, you can get whatever you get in the newspaper, you get it online, yeah. I mean, who reads newspapers?
Well, exactly. When last? I can't remember when last.
You get
the
schmutzy black ink on your hands. Ugh, it's terrible.
Yes, it's awful.
This is not 1912.
Anyway, so you'd think with all those things that those sappy Mondi's paper companies are all going under. But actually, I think there's a new take on it. And think about box deliveries. Think about Amazon, Superblist, Takealot. And everything comes in boxes. And guess who makes those boxes? The paper companies. And there is... yeah, exactly. So now there's like a revival of the paper industry almost. Anyway, Mondi and Sappi reported slightly different companies or where they're at stages in their business. Mondi revenue was up 8% for the first half of their financial year. Half of that organic, half of it acquisitive growth. Operating profit under quite a bit of pressure, some inflationary costs coming through there. And also they had planned maintenance shutdowns, which of course doesn't help. Mandy, though, has managed in the last couple of years when things were difficult to actually, and I want to say deleverage is the word, their balance sheet. So they're actually looking like they're in quite a good position. They haven't paid out a dividend yet, but it looks like they could well. I mean, management said that they were looking more for acquisitions, but if they didn't find any acquisitions that were accretive to earnings, then they would actually pay out a special dividend. And I think that would be quite nice. It's funny how we're going for all these dividend yielding stocks. We're not looking for capital growth, are we? Like, we really No. are in a consolidation mode. I mean, it's so telling.
Yeah.
And then Sappi revenue was up only 3%. Earnings per share, not bad, 13% year on year. And the difference between kind of return on capital employed between Mondi and Sappi is that Mondi's really seems to be peaking, although they kind of have a deleveraged balance sheet, whereas Sappi, their return on capital employed, looks like it's actually trending a bit higher. But then because they reinstated their dividend last year, their balance sheet is not as strong. Okay. Yeah, so it's kind of a tale of two, very much two different companies. Well, same companies, but with different balance sheet features. And I think a weaker euro is good for Sappi, and I'm not sure that you're going to see a weaker euro, actually. In fact, I'm pretty sure that the last time I checked, the euro was like 20% stronger against the dollar in the last year or something, which is quite phenomenal. And it really speaks to this kind of expected recovery in Europe, which everyone is waiting for.
Huh.
Yeah, and we wait, right?
We wait.
It's like you and Brett. We right. wait.
Absolutely.
And then this morning I see Asia is hitting, Asia stock indices are hitting decade highs. Not the same as us or the US where we're on all-time highs. They're just hitting decade highs. I mean, Asia really has been a lost couple of decades. And that's all, I think, really on the back of the excitement on Friday's U.S. non-farm payrolls, which, as I said earlier on, came in much higher than expected, almost 30% higher than expected.
Okay.
Yeah. And that's pretty much it. I mean, that's all we've got for today,
that's,
I think.
That's plenty to chew on for the moment.
It is a lot, eh?
Thank you so much.
My pleasure.
All right. Very good. And we'll check in with Anthea on tomorrow's show between 6 and 7 o'clock. Don't miss any of that. Thank you, Anthea.
Pleasure.
Cool.
This is CliffCentral.com.